This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, brought to you in partnership between the New York State Turfgrass Association, found on the web at www.nysta.org, and Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program. I'm Frank Rossi, the Turf Extension Specialist at Cornell University, and the following is the podcast for the week of August 17, 2015. This is issue 19. A last blast of summer will arrive this week with expected temps to be 4 to 6 degrees above normal. Heat stress conditions will be widespread, indicating that in addition to the days being warm, the evening lows will be above normal with increasing humidity. At this stage, most of our cool season turf grasses are struggling to cope with the persistent heat, not only above ground but below ground as well. Root systems are showing significant signs of decline that is complicating water management. Further areas that have a history of summer patch might benefit from another soil drench application at this time to prevent further root loss and turf failure, and avoid use of the DMI Frac Code 3 fungicides at this time in the heat. Now's a good time to simplify maintenance programs on golf putting surfaces and sports fields, and do not attempt to further stress already stressed turf. This is typically a point of the year where the golf courses and sports fields that are under severe traffic can be distinguished from the less trafficked surfaces. High humidity this week will also increase risk of foliar pathogens such as brown patch and dollar spot. In fact, we are starting to see widespread infestation of rust on tall fescue and perennial ryegrass turf. Athlete and golfer shoes are as well. Equipment will begin to develop an orange film from rust fungus. It is not common to treat for rust, as often turf can outgrow the problem. However, high-value areas that have begun to show signs of rust might benefit from a spray. Keep in mind when seeding resistant varieties, often resistance is not present in seedling turf, so consider treating newly emerged seedlings. It was a cooler than normal week last week. Most areas 0 to 2 degrees above or below normal, depending on location. Heat stress was confined to the I-95 corridor. However, some of the warmer areas compared to normal were to the north and west of the region. Growing degree days continue to keep pace with normal for both the season and compared to the 15-year average. Soils cooled slightly into the low 70s and mid 60s south to north. Widespread rainfall of 1 to 2 plus inches blanketed much of the northeast U.S., leaving most with a moisture surplus when considering rainfall amounts minus ET. ET was reduced to 0.75 to 1 inch. Dry conditions continue in the Capital District over to Maine and as well as Long Island, southeastern Connecticut, and Rhode Island. About 30% of the topsoil in Pennsylvania, Delaware, New Jersey, and Connecticut are below normal moisture. A warmer than normal week is expected with temps 4 to 6 degrees above normal. Overall expected to be a dry period. However, a front will move through Tuesday, Wednesday with only locally heavily precip. The 8 to 14 day outlook looks to be above normal temps and average rainfall. And our regional clips for this week: no new gray leaf spot reports from the Rutgers Diagnostic Lab, anthracnose and summer patch samples from golf and lawns coming in steady, annual bluegrass weevil remnants in plugs. Lots of nutsedge noticed in some lawns receiving regular, maybe excessive irrigation, and starting to outgrow the good grass in these lawns on Long Island. Agrostis gigantum, a.k.a. red-top bentgrass, heavily infested soccer field in western New York, is responding to multiple applications of tenacity. And finally, golf course is showing some very dry conditions even after receiving almost 1 inch of rain last week. Signs of shallow roots on Long Island. And a white grub up, and wait a second, selecting grasses. Just in time to make good choices for selecting turf species and varieties for fall recovery and renovation establishment. The 2015 Cornell Turfgrass Species and Variety Guidelines for Lawn, Golf, and Sports Turf by Mary Thurn and Frank Rossi. The guide is available now as an iBook and in PDF format. This long-awaited guide provides the latest science-based information for selecting species, the latest varieties, and effective establishment in a variety of settings. And finally, a white grub update, biocontrol options from our soil insect ecologist here at Cornell University, Professor Kyle Wickings. Peak activity periods for adult scarab beetles are now past, and that means that annual white grub season is upon us. If you are faced with limited conventional options for managing white grubs, consider using entomopathogenic nematodes or fungi to keep grubs in check. All white grub larval stages are susceptible to entomopathogen infection, but susceptibility decreases by as much as 40 to 6% as grubs mature. As a result, entomopathogenic-based products should be applied as soon as possible, once white grub eggs hatch and larvae are detected in soil. At present, most annual white grubs, including Japanese beetle, European chafer, and Oriental beetle, are either still in the egg stage or have progressed to first or second instar larvae. So mid to late August is the time to apply entomopathogen-based products to areas with known chronic infestations or to get out there and begin scouting for new white grub populations. Many entomopathogens are available commercially for use as a biocontrol agent against insect pests. However, care should be taken to select the right product for the pest at hand. Products containing the entomopathogenic fungi Bovaria bassiana and Metarhizium anisopoli and the nematodes Steinonerma fultiae and Heterabetus bacteriophora have all been shown to cause mortality in white grubs, but HB is generally shows the greatest efficacy. Entomopathogenic nematodes are also the only biological control product not registered by the EPA and thus available for use on New York school grounds. For more information on instructions and considerations for using entomopathogens to control white grubs in turf, visit www.biocontrol.entomology.cornell.edu or consult the 2015-16 Cornell Guide for Commercial Turfgrass Management. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, brought to you in partnership between the New York State Turfgrass Association and your Cornell University Turfgrass Science Program. I'm Frank Rossi, here in the section of horticulture in the School of Integrative Plant Science at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.